Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 685 of your Overseas Connection podcast. Today is May 29th, 2022. And if you're not familiar with us, we are a video game podcast. We consider ourselves older, wiser, more mature. That's debatable, the last part. But we'll talk some video games today. We'll talk about life. We are on YouTube. We are on Twitch, so you can catch us live and be part of the chat. We are doing this every Sunday, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. on the West Coast, 4 p.m. on the East Coast. And, of course, if you're out hanging out with Kim, it's 3 p.m. Central Time Zone for you.
Indeed.
And that's a perfect way for me to say, welcome to the show, Kim.
Yeah, thanks for having me, even though technically I'm here all the time anyway. But whatever. It's a somewhat nice day out. I think it's trying to rain on us. It just hasn't started yet, but it's warm, so that's nice.
Yeah, speaking of warm, it has been insanely warm out here in sunny California. Where I live on Wednesday, we had 102.
Wow.
Which is just, I mean, it's May. It's not right. Supposed to be this hot this early.
Right. I agree with you there. Seems a little tad early. I mean, you know.
Yeah, but you know what is interesting about this show, Kim?
What's that?
It's an all-American cast.
And yeah. We were on time. So
we were on time. The show started. There's no audio problems as far as I know.
Right.
It begs one to think and wonder,
Right.
Maybe, just maybe, USA is better. All right. Enough inflammatory conversation. Right. But before we get deep into the show, obviously, we want to just real quickly talk about there were really tragic, the tragic events that happened in Texas. And they're just, it feels like it just happens all the time now, Kim. I don't have a good solution or a fix. I don't know that there is an easy fix for us. And obviously I know a lot of people outside of the U.S. are like, how is it, you know, just, it has to be a simple fix. And we've talked about it a few different times. And I think a lot of it is, just based on how this country was founded and kind of the inception of the U.S., just leads to some problems around the whole Second Amendment right stuff. We're not going to dive into all of that. I just wanted to at least acknowledge that, you know, our hearts and prayers certainly are out there with those that have lost or been affected by the gun violence that's been just continually happening. And I just say I want some change. I do think there are sensible things that can be done. And I hate the term sensible solutions, but I just feel like there are some compromises that can happen to give us some better things in place to help mitigate. But it's not just all about only gun control. There are other factors as well that I think we need to bring into the picture as well and admit and talk about, because this is happening in this country for a reason, and it's not happening elsewhere. And that's not because there are no guns anywhere else in the world. So it just makes you stop and wonder what is happening under our own roof. Anyway, I just wanted to say that. I don't know if you want to add anything there, Kim.
No, you pretty much summed it up for me. I mean, some, as a gun owner, and I don't want to get things started, but there, even I agree, there's got to be something. I mean, this is just crazy. So...
Agreed. Well, we will transition from that. And obviously hard to transition out of such a heavy topic and obviously such a tragic event. But we are here to distract ourselves. We talk about video games because it is not our daily lives that gets, in the way of this. So we'll do that. I don't have any birthday updates, so I can't do any birthday jingle other than if you do have a birthday and we missed it, apologies. You're a year older. Congratulations. Or we're sorry. I don't know. I don't know which is better. All right. Let's talk some story time, Kim.
All righty.
Everyone here loves story time, our favorite time of the day.
All right. And as we dive into the chat, I know Boomer's in the house. So Boomer, cheers to you for making the show. Hanging out in the chat.
Yep.
Okay. Kim.
Yes.
This past week, What the hell have you been doing?
Oh, God. A better question would be, what haven't I been doing? But, well, let's see. Where should I start? It's been a somewhat interesting week. Hopefully this week will be the last week I have to watch Owen all the time. I think I have to watch him Tuesday this coming week because the girl who's supposed to be doing it has basketball practice. But I think that gets me out of the rest of the week, hopefully. I DIY'd some litter boxes last week.
Now, litter as in like cat litter box or yes. Litter as in like carrying a litter of kittens around?
No, a litter box as a cat litter box. We've got a cat. I shall call him Asshole. Because he kind of is one. He's had an issue with he likes to piss over the side of the litter box. And it doesn't seem to matter how tall the litter box is, because as long as the opening is on the side, that asshole will figure out how to piss in the floor. And I was getting real tired of cleaning up cat pee in the floor. So I went out and bought, like, the plastic totes with the lids on them. I bought some 12-gallon ones. They're not super big, but they're about the same size as this current litter box. And I took the lids, and I cut a hole in them. I left enough in the lid so that way they jump up, had a platform, so they could get down in the litter box. And that has solved my cat piss problem. So, yeah. And it was a cheap solution. I had to buy four of them because, you know, four litter boxes. And actually, if you went to buy these things, like the actual pre-made, like, tote litter box things, there are some places I wanted, like, $50 for one of those. I spent $50 on four different totes and made my own. So there you go. So if you've got a problem like I've got and you had a cat or you just want to cover up your litter box so it's not quite so observed, I guess you'd say it's not so out there, get yourself a little tote and cut a hole in the lid, put the lid on top of it. And assuming your cat's not like a gigantic chicken shit and scared of the dark or something, which I suppose you could put a little like pop-up light there if you wanted. I don't know. That's more in-depth than I want to get. But there you go. Make yourself a litter box that way. So
I would think a cat would not be afraid of the dark because they are nocturnal hunters.
Well, right. You would think, but I don't know. Yeah. I've got some weird cats and well, I've seen people that will actually put those little puck lights that you push on, the light turns on, you push on, it turns off. I've seen them put them in these litter boxes before and I'm just like, so do you go in there every time and push the light on for your cat or you got them trained to do
motion
that?
Motion censored.
How does that work? Like, I don't know, maybe I'm lazy, because I'm just thinking to myself, there's no way in hell I'm getting up every time one of the cats goes to use the litter box to turn that fucking light on. Forget it.
I don't even turn the light on when I go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, so.
Right?
What's good for the goose is good for the, anyway. All right, okay. So, DIY litter box.
Yeah, another non-litter box news. Somehow or another, I have faster internet speed, and when I say faster internet speed, I pay for 50 and 50. I'm getting 200 and 200. So like quadruple the speed. I don't know why. The phone company's never told me. So
Kim, when the guy came out and set up your setup, I mean, did you slip him a little something extra? Did you?
Well, not that I wouldn't have because he was cute, but no, I didn't.
The truth is coming out now. Okay.
Yeah, well, I never claimed to be a saint. But yeah, for some, and why in the hell is happening now? Because that was months ago. But anyway, faster internet speed. It's nice. I now know how normal people live. So we'll see. I haven't got the bill yet, so I'm a little afraid to see what the bill's going to be. Because for my 50 and 50, I'm paying $100. So yeah,
congratulations. We upgraded your speed. And your bill.
But guess what? You know, now you're paying like $200. I don't know. I'm a little frightened, but we'll see. But it's nice having faster internet because, like I said, I downloaded Witcher 3 the other day because apparently it wasn't downloaded, and it's a 40-gigabyte game. It took 15 minutes.
Nice.
Normally for me that would take, hours. An afternoon.
Yeah.
So that was nice.
Okay.
Let's see. Carrying on. I mean, it's been an interesting week, as you can tell by reading my story time thing there.
I was just going to say the next one. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you've seen it, but Jif has a recall out because their peanut butter came in contact with salmonella. So, or whatever. So I did the little thing because I just bought a big, like, 40-ounce jar of crunchy peanut butter the other day. Like, a week ago, I opened it, made me a sandwich, didn't think nothing of it. And then Dad's, like, picking on me. He's like, is that the peanut butter with salmonella in it? I'm, like, looking at it. I hadn't heard, so I didn't know.
Right.
Yeah. So he's sitting there, and all of a sudden it pops up on the news, and it's like, if your peanut butter is this, it might be contaminated with salmonella. And all I can think is, oh, fuck. So I I checked my peanut butter, and guess what? It was one of the jars that was on recall.
Okay.
Although somehow or another, I managed to not get salmonella because I never got sick from my peanut butter and jelly sandwich. So thank
God. Well, I mean, my guess is not every you know, every container is going to have salmonella, but usually they just over precaution.
Right.
Just every, you know, bottle potentially that could be out there, we'll recall it.
Right.
But this is also why I buy Skippy.
Anyway,
enjoy your salmonella.
Right. So, yeah, so here I am with a 40-ounce jar of peanut butter that I had just opened, and I had to throw it in the trash can. I was a little sad about that. But apparently they're sending me a coupon or something so I can go get
peanut butter. You know, I would have hung on to that. I mean, you know, raccoon problems.
I know, that was the same thing. You know, when we got mice, he's like, that could take care of the mice issue real quick. I'm like, yeah, there we go. What are you doing? I'm giving the mice salmonella. Anyway, and further news, and this is the last little interesting tidbit. Over the winter, I apparently did something to my thumbs. I don't know if I sprained them or what, but they hurt whenever I went to, like, pick up a bucket or whatever. It's probably because I tried to pack 2 5-gallon buckets in one hand. And, I mean, you know, that old adage, just because you can, you probably shouldn't. And that probably is part of the reason why my thumb hurts. But there, yesterday, I found a surefire way to stop thinking about my sore thumb. I was walking into my pantry, and my washing machine is in my pantry, and my, you know, it's a pantry slash laundry room. And as I was walking by there, I walked by and smacked this hand on my washing machine, causing me to jam my finger. And, I don't know if you can tell which finger it is. I can. It
feels like it's your pinky there, Kim. Yes.
Yeah. It's swollen, and it's sore, and I about peed my pants when I did it. So, yeah, but no, I no longer think about my thumb hurting because I jammed my fucking finger. So, yeah, it's been a week. Peanut butter, jamming fingers, litter boxes, fast internet. I mean, you know, the litter boxes and the internet were probably the best part of my week. Everything else has just kind of sucked.
Yeah, so. You know, for the record, the solution on not thinking about your pinky, I feel like that is like straight up out of like an episode of like the, I don't know, Flintstones or even like Family Guy. I could just see that kind of sarcastic solution coming forward. So, sorry for your finger.
That's okay. It'll be fine. It's actually a little bit better today than it was yesterday, other than the fact that it's swollen. But
I mean, it's still on, so there's that.
Right. Yeah, it's still attached. So, but yeah, I cracked that son of a bitch, and I swear to God, I think my neighbors heard me down the road because I was not quiet about it. And I almost thought about throwing my washing machine out the door, but I thought, no, you know, kind of need that. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Huh?
So what about you?
A long work week. I can honestly say I was well ready for Friday, Wednesday.
Right.
But got through the work week, was able to get in some gaming time over the course of the week and actually catch in a few different shows. I actually watched The Protégé while I was working. So I had it actually up on my computer monitor here. It's an Amazon Prime movie. And it has Samuel L. Jackson and I'm going to draw a blank on his name. The original Michael Keaton. Michael Keaton plays in it. And then the main character, the main actress, I do not for life of me remember her name. But she has been in other shows. She played, I think, the FBI agent in the White House show with Kiefer Sutherland. I got to remember the stupid name of that show. Anyway, needless to say, she's not somebody I typically see in a leading role. She's usually kind of like a support actress. This go round, she plays the role of an assassin. And you know, I don't obviously want to spoil anything, but really good action, very enjoyable, and I think probably better in my mind because I had low expectations coming into it. I just didn't know what it was. And I was like, you know what? I'll take a chance. Typically speaking, when you see some of these movies with kind of top tier actors, I get a little gun shy because, of course, all of the Bruce Willis movies that were coming out towards the latter part before he stopped acting, you know, you think Bruce Willis, okay, awesome. And then he would just dog shit movies. And I was just like, why is he even in this? So, of course, I now understand why. The Protégé, well worth checking out. I enjoyed it a lot.
By the way, you're looking for Maggie Hugh.
Maggie Hugh, thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all right. And then Ozark. So I continue to get through Ozark. I'm now in season 4, about halfway through. And this really is kind of the new Breaking Bad, if you will. I think it's as good. Not obviously as long running, and I don't think they're going to go as long running as Breaking Bad did, but I think they're going to bring it to resolution soon. Mm-hmm. All I can say is some of the family members within the Ozark, some you initially like and grow to hate. Mm-hmm. And there's others that you're kind of like, mixed feelings about. And now, you know, kind of looking at them much differently. And not so much the family members, just characters in the show. I really like how there's been a lot of like kind of hills and valleys with these different characters in terms of likability. And there's times where I've just been like, that person just needs to die. And now I'm like becoming a fan of one of the characters in particular, Ruth. She's really kind of grown on me. Early on, I just couldn't stand her. I was just like, oh, just kill her. So Ozark, it's been good. I really enjoy it. And then last, a little audiobook recommendation. And shocking, not R.C. Bray. I know.
The romance is over.
The romance is over. No, it's a book called The Expansion. It's a book series, I should say, called The Expansion. It's narrated by Luke Daniels. It took me a little while to warm up to him, and mostly because I literally have just nothing but R.C. Bray as a narrator for the audiobooks. Mm-hmm. And so when I was listening to Luke Daniels, I was kind of like, he's second rate R.C. Bray.
Right.
But he does some. You know, he also does the kind of thing that R.C. Bray does, where he's voice acting all these different characters, including female characters and characters of other nationalities. And he does it pretty well. I still think R.C. Bray is my preferred. You know, if I'm going to have an audiobook done, but I love R.C. Bray. I think he's fantastic. But Luke Daniels does a pretty good job in this. And the book series itself. It is a space sci-fi, kind of a sci-fi opera, but you're not dealing with an AI, that is your buddy, AI type thing. This is really just about Earth expanding out into the universe and coming across some alien races and what unfolds from there. Good stuff. And that's really kind of it for me on the story front. Yeah. I mean, it's Memorial Day weekend. So we do have a holiday weekend here. So, I do anticipate that probably later today, I'm going to try and get in some more, playing some Halo, that kind of thing. But tomorrow we're going to go hit the wineries. And actually a little small story I forgot to talk about, which was last night. Our neighbor, who was is actually the general contractor that redid our kitchen, he up and quit being a general contractor to go into the fire academy and wants to become a firefighter. And so he graduated from the fire academy. And so they threw a big, graduation bash for him. So we got a babysitter for Colin last night. We showed up, and the one thing my neighbor had told me, his name, God, I'm drawing a blank on his name right now. This is I had a lot of tequila last night. Let me just put it that way. There was a lot of tequila, and he told me, bring your liver and be ready. So Chad is his name. Man, tequila shots were flowing. I will just put it that way. And I don't typically drink a lot of shots. Like, I'll drink drinks. Like, I love margaritas. I don't mind mixing drinks, that kind of thing. But I typically don't do a lot of shots. Right. And that's just because it could quickly get out of hand and you're losing track and suddenly you're just like, so about through 2/3 into the night, I really started to feel the tequila hitting. And this morning I woke up not so happy.
Oh, bet.
I survived. I mean, so typically speaking, my hangovers, I don't get the big like headaches and like I can't look at the light or anything, but I'm definitely slow. Yeah. You don't want to move too quick. You just like everything just needs to kind of take its pace. And in this particular situation, I also, I drank coffee early because I was like, okay, perfect. Coffee. Give me coffee. And then about the third cup of coffee, my stomach was like, yeah, you can quit the coffee. There's a lot of acid in your stomach right now. Just back off the coffee. Maybe eat some toast. So, yeah. Drinking. It's fun.
It is fun. Until it isn't.
Consequences. Yeah. Yeah. All right. let's get into talking some video games.
Okay.
Today I feel like playing computer games. Today I feel like playing computer games.
All right. Kim, let's talk about video games. What have you been playing? I know there's been some old hat stuff, but I know one particular game you got into, it seems like quite a bit. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts.
Alrighty. Like you said, a little bit of the same. I played Puzzle Quest 3 this week. I actually was able to hop on, play a little Forza Horizon 5. I didn't really do much there. We just kind of tootled around, like you do in Forza. But yesterday I had a wild hair and I've been wanting to get back to it since I found out about the no fail mode because, it seemed like that'd be awesome. And I jumped back into Tunic. The little fox-like Zelda thing. Yeah. And I played it for most of the day. And apparently I got a little slack because I did play it on no fail mode because that's basically easy mode. And because all that does is pretty much you take damage, but it does not affect your health. Well, there's parts of it that still affected my health. I don't remember now what exactly I got into, but it almost killed me, but I didn't actually die. The screen just flashed, when you're towards the end of your health bar and sometimes they'll flash telling you, hey, you're about to die. Yeah,
right.
That's what it did until I finally hit a save point and it refilled my health and we were good. But it did make, I don't want to say it made the game more enjoyable because that's not it, but it made it seem less punishing. I mean, I was able to do more. I found more manual pages. I found more of the little fairy things you're supposed to find. I found there's a lantern you're supposed to find and a magic wand, and I found that stuff. Okay. And I don't want to say it made it more fun because it was fun before, but it made it less stressful, less aggravating because unfortunately I did die a lot in regular mode because for me, the controls are a little spongy. When you go to parry to block, sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. Sometimes it seemed like my sword swings were slow and I got my ass handed to me. So this made it a little more enjoyable. And I got to upgrade my health bar some more and my stamina bar and the little bar because of operates your little, what's the thing? It's not like a zip line necessarily, but there's hooks and stuff that you can use this thing to throw it out to and you can get pulled onto the hooks and to make it through the game. Yes, a grapple. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. So, Tunic, like I said, I spent most of the day yesterday playing it and I played a little bit more this morning. And it's still good. Like I said, if you're like me and you suck at and you just want to like enjoy the puzzles and but you suck at the combat or maybe the combat just it's not working well for you, try no fail mode. It really makes it a lot more enjoyable if all you're into is just trying to do the puzzle and figure things out.
Right.
Plus, go on Google and find like a walkthrough or something. Because honestly, if I had to try to do all this stuff by myself without some sort of help leading me along, I wouldn't find half the shit because there's no handholding. You just go and you discover and, oh, look, there's a waterfall. I wonder if there's a secret room behind it. So you go and you check and sometimes there is no secret room and sometimes there is. But otherwise, you wouldn't have known that. So, yeah. So Tunic. It's really good. It's on Game Pass. So, I mean, you don't have to buy it if you've got Game Pass. It's free. And if you like these little, like, Zelda, like, I don't want to call it Dark Souls necessarily, but that's kind of what it's like if you don't have the no-fail mode on. It's Dark Souls. So
it definitely, I think, is a combination Zelda, Dark Souls, kind of how you described it. Right. I know in the chats they're talking, physical version with a manual in it. I don't think you're ever going to get a physical version of this game with a manual. Right. Only because the manual being such a core mechanic to the game.
Right.
I don't think they could actually print it out and give it to you, because it would kind of ruin part of the kind of the mystery to the game, so to speak.
And I've read a couple of spots on Google that there are some people that's even figured out what the manual's language is. I haven't. It just looks like a bunch of chicken scratches to me. So I kind of follow along with the pictures and go from there. So, yeah. I mean, otherwise I go through a walkthrough. And like I said, somebody's going to give me slack because I've done the no-fail mode and I'm using a walkthrough. But you know what? I'm playing the game how I want to enjoy the game. So...
Hey, I think that is perfectly fine, especially in a non-competitive game. It doesn't matter. It doesn't affect anybody else. It doesn't make it any less enjoyable for somebody that wants to play it on hard mode.
Exactly.
I say go for it
repeatedly and losing your shit, and then having to go back and find your little ghost person and get all your shit back. Hey, more power to you. Go for it. That just wasn't my jam. So. And I wanted to give the game a chance because it did look really good. And this helps me, you know, give the... Kind of like Hades, because Hades does kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
So, which I really need to get back into that one these days, too.
I was looking at that the other day. Yeah. Look, I think this is actually a really good thing for Tuna, because, again, you know, the developers want you to play the game.
Right.
I don't understand why anybody would think the developer wants to make it so punishingly hard that you never actually play the game.
Right.
Although there are some developers like that. It always kind of baffles me a little bit why they would be that way, but you know,
right.
Oh, well.
Well, that's why I was looking at it. I'm like, if they didn't want you to use it, it wouldn't put it there. So.
Exactly.
Right. So anyway, that's pretty much it for me. I'm not sure what I've got up for tomorrow, but hopefully I can kind of jump into it some more or maybe play something else. Cause I have the day off. So.
All right. Cool.
What about you?
We did our typical Halo gameplay session this past week. We also got in some PUBG. For the Halo session, though, we actually got in a little Entrenched, which is a new game mode. And it's interesting because at first I wasn't sure I would like it. And I have it up on screen. So basically there are three capture points that come up on screen, and your team, you know, your goal is to capture each point. And once a point is capped, you know, it kind of goes through its time limit and you've captured it, mm-hmm. then, it kind of locks it out until all three of the, capture points are capped. Mm-hmm. And once all three are capped, then a new set of zones come up to capture. So a new set of three come up. So you don't necessarily have to worry about, quote unquote, defending or holding them. Right. So, you know, and the key is that it's first team to 11 points. So each zone being capped is 1 point. So the games actually go a little quicker than I thought they would as well. And there's a little less of the stress of needing to, you know, the whole defend and hold when you're trying to capture multiple places at the same time. It takes the formula, you know, of capture, you know, capture is a not, I don't want to say capture the flag, but capture a zone to kind of a new level. And so I've been enjoying it, more so than I thought I would. And that's probably, I guess, the key to it here is that, you know, it's just been a lot more fun. And I will say, though, in terms of the Entrenched event that's going on, because typically speaking, when they launch these things, they have these free events where they kind of try and get you into a gameplay mode. The only problem with the Entrenched event is that, you know, it's just this one gameplay mode, and you're trying to kind of level up to meet all these challenges for it. I would like them to have multiple types of game modes within, you know, kind of an Entrenched, or a seasonal event. Let me just say that. So I like Entrenched. I do get a little bored of it. And so what I end up doing is I'll play, you know, good four or five, modes of that, and then I'll switch out to something else. So it's not part of the seasonal event, which sucks. So I don't necessarily earn experience towards the seasonal event, but it keeps me from getting super bored with that game. Mm-hmm. But yeah. So Halo multiplayer, continue to really enjoy it. PUBG also, you know, played a bunch of that with Mark on Friday night. And then Robin showed up a little bit late, and we tried a couple of real live matches. So that's the interesting thing about PUBG as well. So they have now set it up to where you can do three what they call casual matches. Mm-hmm. And so the casual matches are basically like 80 bots and 20 live players. I think that it maybe actually be 88 and 12. So it's you're playing against mostly AI, mm-hmm. and inevitably it gets down to the last like six or so, and that's going to be live players. And so suddenly things get a little more tense when you're firefighting up against the live players. But you know,
right?
It's easier to get to that final, you know, smaller group. Comparatively speaking to a live match, because when Robin and I were in the live match together, it was never, we got our asses handed to us pretty early on in every one of those matches. So it's just, PUBG still has the magic. I like the casual mode as a warm-up mode. And I think that's kind of what they intended it to be, is, you know, hey, play a couple casual matches, get your feet underneath you, and then dive into it. Kind of like what we do in Halo. We typically are playing a couple game modes of Fiesta, mm-hmm. and that will kind of warm us up, and then we dive into it. We're like, all right, let's play an actual match against competitive match in Slayer or something. So I'm just looking on the chat. You're paying attention to the chat, so you just let me know. I won't pay too much attention. Anyway, the last game I want to talk about is Trek to Yumi, or Yomi. So I finished it last night.
Nice.
And I really ended up enjoying this game far more than I probably should have.
Right.
Only because, you know, I was complaining early on about the sponginess of the controls. Mm-hmm. And there definitely is this weird sponginess to the parry system where you feel like it needs you to be super precise, but you're fighting against the controls to be super precise. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that was a bit frustrating. But what I ended up doing is I mapped the parry system onto one of my bottom paddles on my Elite 2. And it made a huge difference in terms of how well the game controlled and how it felt. And so, you know, I was able to go through, and then really probably the last two, you know, kind of major boss fights, I did actually drop it down into easy, because that was where I was getting super frustrated with the parry system still.
Right.
Because ultimately you're still going to miss some here and there. But I was at the point where I just wanted the game to be over.
Right.
And I do feel like, this game also does something that a lot of games do, where they put filler stuff into it. And unfortunately, with this game, the filler is you pretty much fight similar enemies just with slightly different skins, multiple times. And mm-hmm. so, I was just kind of like, okay, can we not just, wrap the game up, keep it a little bit shorter? I think it would have been a better experience for that. Mm-hmm. All said and done, I want to say this is probably about a 6 to 8 hour game, depending upon, you know, how fast you're playing through it. And one of the great things it does, very much like, some of the arcade racing game from Ubisoft. Again, my mind is mush right now. But, you know, the ability to start and just restart quickly. So you're not waiting through loading screens. You're not having to, you're not punished for dying in that respect. Mm-hmm. So I love the fact that it's just a really fast restart.
Right.
The checkpoints also are pretty generous. So you're constantly finding a new checkpoint. And unlike other, games where, the checkpoint is just really there to save your progress. One of the nice things about all of the checkpoints within this game is it actually it puts your health back up to full.
Right.
So every time you get to a new checkpoint, your health bar goes all the way back up to full, which is just incredibly helpful, because there's really no other way to gain health in the game other mm-hmm. than the checkpoints. Outside of, they have one mechanic, which is if you stun an enemy, you can do, basically a fatality kill, and that will restore some of your health.
Right.
The problem I found with that is it's only particular enemy types that you can do that to that you will actually stun. Most of the enemies, once you give them a killing blow, they just die instantly.
Right.
And so you never get the opportunity to restore some of your health, with the exception of a few of them. And sometimes you're doing your button combos, and so they go into that stunned state, but you're still swinging and you end up killing them anyway.
Right.
So some of my nitpicks, but just the visuals of this game are fantastic. It just has it just captures that feel of playing, a samurai, game. And I love the black and white use. Honestly, I'm usually not a fan of black and white,
right?
And grayscale, but for this game, absolutely. You also hear they have a little bit of that staticky hiss in some of the settings, and you'll see some flickering on the screen. And so they just did a really good job of just putting this game and putting you into the vibe and essence of being a samurai. Mm-hmm. And there are a couple of path choices you do make in the game that will affect kind of the end of the game and what kind of ending you get.
Right.
I don't know how significant they are. I suppose I can look it up on YouTube and probably see what the difference is on the ending types.
Right. But,
I got quote unquote the good ending, apparently. And I was happy with it. But I did not feel a need to go back and try and play through again. That was the other, downside to this game, I guess, is that because it is a lot of repeat and rinse, and they do pad it with mm-hmm. some of that. For me, at least, I was just like, OK, I don't want to really go back through. I'm glad I've played it. I really enjoyed this game. It's not going to be on my game of the year contenders, but it was definitely enjoyable. So,
yeah, Trek to Yumi. Overplayability.
Well,
I kind of figured that.
I mean, it's there. Uh-huh. You certainly could go back and replay it if you want.
Right.
But I feel like the controls are just finicky enough to where, at least for me, I don't have a desire to go back and play it again. Right. So. Then that was really it for me on the play side. Now, the one thing I did do, which we'll do a little show and tell. So Steam Deck, we've been talking about it. I had been told you could get Game Pass on Steam Deck.
Right.
And so I was kind of like, how do we get Game Pass on my Steam Deck? And so and you're looking here, hopefully I can put this up on screen. So that's my library as I'm going through. And if you go to the non-Steam library, lo and behold, there's Game Pass. And all I have to do is tap that, play. And as you will see in a minute, I should say hopefully, you're getting a little loading screen. And then it should pop up. As of course, I'm looking at a white screen, but we'll see. The Steam Deck does every once in a while get a little finicky in terms of loading and not loading.
Right.
But here we go. So there is my Game Pass.
Nice.
I'm automatically logged in. And so I literally could, let's say I want to play Guardians of the Galaxy. Continue anyway. And so the xCloud beta. So this is playing it through xCloud with Game Pass. The cool thing about this is that it really saves your battery life. So the Steam Deck, because it's playing through xCloud, it's not processing the game at all.
Ah.
All of the processing is happening on the Microsoft servers.
That's handy.
And so, yeah. And
because
so,
what battery life for that thing is not real great, is it?
Well, it says anywhere from 2 to 6 hours, I think, is what they claim. And let me just tell you, two hours is about what you should expect. But yeah, and people are wondering about the fan noise. I mean, you hear the game. I don't hear the noise.
Right.
So it will, the fans will kick in. You'll hear them to a degree, but it's not going to be something that's going to just
dominate. All right. My old Xbox One, you can hear the fans flare across the room. So,
yeah. So, No, no, Steam Deck. This is kind of a game changing thing for me because my library in my Steam Deck is fairly limited. Right. And having the ability to let me just put this into sleep mode. Having the ability to play my Xbox games now, and you can set it up to where it maps the controller perfectly to the Steam Deck, and so it just feels really good.
Nice.
So pleasantly surprised that I was able to get it working. It is a process.
Right.
So understand you're going to have to jump through a little bit of hoops to get it to work. Mm-hmm. You know, there were a lot of recommendations to plug in a USB-C keyboard and mouse. I think that would certainly make your life easier.
Right.
I did not do that. I used the built-in Steam Deck keyboard. And there's some finicky to that in terms of getting, you know, into the once you get into the back end Steam Deck stuff, sometimes it's hard to get your cursor properly placed where you want to add in text, because you will be basically a couple different areas in the property section of, like, for the Game Pass on the console settings for the Steam Deck, you're going to have to enter in some code.
Right.
And the code is lengthy. It, you know, it's not something you're going to know off the top of your head, obviously. So you're going to be referencing back and forth. And sometimes it's hard to know if there should be a space, if there shouldn't be. So I found there was a pretty good support YouTube video. I shouldn't say support, but just somebody put out a YouTube video that was actually, you know, a good way of going about figuring out how to do it. Mm-hmm. But then I had my backup, which was actually on Xbox support. So they actually have a detail of how to get all of the Steam Deck set up to do xCloud gaming.
Nice.
Which was kind of shocking to see that Microsoft is actually putting that on the support page.
Right.
And they also provide the graphics. So the Xbox logo, the Game Pass logo and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I actually had to download that, but I downloaded it from the Microsoft site and they tell you how to then apply those graphics into the Steam Deck to make it, you know, to give your tiles that Xbox look.
Nice.
So yeah, it was really cool. Very, very happy about that. Yeah, cool. So Steam Deck. Yeah. It's a thing.
Indeed.
Okay. So we've talked games. I think at this point, so here's the deal. We were going to talk E3 predictions. And,
right.
And I say E3 predictions. Obviously, we know E3 is canceled, but we kind of are getting E3 anyway.
Right.
And so it's like, okay, well, if we're getting E3 anyway, maybe we should do what we've normally done, which is E3 predictions.
Right.
But then some news started coming out. and so I was like, well, maybe, just maybe, we should go through the news first. Then we'll talk about our E3 predictions, because I think some of the news that's coming out will actually be a little bit helpful to hear, because it could potentially sway some of your predictions, Kim. I don't know. Maybe, maybe not.
Maybe.
And I'm just resizing my windows all over the place, so bear with me.
Okay.
But yeah, so let's talk some news.
Oh, righty.
Here is the fucking news.
Breaking news, Kim. Are you okay? I understand you're being invaded by raccoons, potentially.
Yeah, I just had one walk by our front door. The Ring doorbell picked it up, and I don't know. Guess he was out there eating cat food. At least I hope that's what it is. So
it's good of you to feed the cat. The raccoon.
Not
the,
I know,
cat.
Right?
Yeah, but cat's probably pissed off. Damn raccoons eating my food again.
Right. That's all right. It'll be chore time after I get done with the podcast. Anyways, I'll put more out there. So.
All right. So news. We had a bunch of Sony news. There was a big financial presentation that took place over the course of the week, or earlier in the week, I should say. And out of that, a bunch of stuff came forward. So the first thing was kind of talking about some of the TV series, movies that they have set up. So it looks like, at least it feels like, they're spreading the wealth of where all of these different series are going. So they're not betting on just one service. So from all of these meetings, we now are to be believing, and it could change, obviously, because I know the Xbox TV series originally supposed to be on Showtime, and right. then that transitioned to Paramount Plus. But the Peacock streaming service is supposedly going to be getting the Twisted Metal movie television series. Mm-hmm. HBO Max, of course, is getting The Last of Us. God of War will be on Amazon. The Horizon game is going to be going to Netflix. And then they also announced a Gran Turismo show. They did not give a an actual platform. Right. But if I'm betting, just based on this list, I would think Paramount Plus would be next in line right. to get one of the shows. But I'm kind of excited about Gran Turismo in particular, only because I could see them potentially trying to make it more like kind of like the Motor Trend type of car shows, as opposed right. to just a, you know, an acted television series. You know, so it could be more, you know, you're learning about cars, and you know, there's been some fantastic shows, and again, mind totally drawing a blank, thank you Tequila, but there's a very famous British show, and for the life of me, I'm drawing a blank. I'm sure the chat will tell us. Yes, Top Gear. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So I love Top Gear. Right. I enjoy those shows thoroughly. So I would love to see something in that light. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, Kim, out of these, what one or two are you most excited for?
Well, probably the God of War one, believe it or not. I mean, out of all of them, the only one I'm kind of sitting there and scratching my head over is the Gran Turismo one, because I'm thinking, well, okay, how are they going to make a show out of that? Because, I mean, there really isn't, like, a cast of characters, as far as I knew, because I haven't played Gran Turismo in years. But, yeah, that's the only one that's kind of got me scratching my head, going, okay, how are they going to make that one work? Because, I mean, even with Twisted Metal, I know there's a storyline behind that one, because are they escape prisoners or some shit? Because I haven't played Twisted Metal in years either. But I don't know. I think out of all of them, I'm looking more forward to the God of War one more than, and maybe Horizon more than any of the rest of them. But
I think I'm right there with you. The Gran Turismo one, obviously, you know, I'm hoping it's not GT Academy, which I know the chat Boof is talking about it.
Gotcha.
Again, I would love more kind of a car show as opposed to gamer centric.
Right.
God of War to me seems like that is the one that could potentially be awesome. Mm-hmm. All the pieces are there for just a great show, as long as they have the budget for the CGI, which I think these right. days we know that they're putting that kind of money into it. So
right.
That to me is like top of the list. Horizon is definitely right there with it, though, because I think, again, the CGI would be perfect, you know, kind of a compliment to do live action with some crazy looking robot dinosaurs.
Right.
Or robot dinosaurs or robot.
I don't know. I like robot. Works for me.
The one I think I'm least excited for is Last of Us.
Right.
And I say that because the Last of Us games themselves were so theatrical in their presentation. Mm-hmm. Again, I literally watched Last of Us 2 on YouTube, and it was perfectly right. fine. It played right. like a movie. I don't feel like we need a movie made of what, you know, all, you know, a game that had a lot of theatrical, you know, presentation to it. So, I don't know. That's just my two cents. But I mean, I'm sure general public will love it, assuming it gets done well.
Well, yeah, because, you know, the guy from The Mandalorian is in it. So, you know, I'm sure they'll all be all over that. So.
Yeah. And I know the question in the chat, do they, for God of War, do they go Greek mythology or Norse mythology? What do you think?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I would say if they're trying to keep it with what's going on now, I'd say they probably skip it and go right to Norse, but I could be wrong. I mean, they may start with Greek and then kind of speed it up and then skip to what we know now, but I don't know. I guess we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. I lean Greek only because I think most people know Greek mythology more than any.
That's true.
And so it'll be easy for people to, you know, understand mm-hmm. who these other characters are.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Moving on to more Sony news. So Sony also had this big financial presentation, and a lot of info was coming out of this. But I pulled a bunch of slides that were posted up on NeoGAF because I felt like some of these were interesting, for lack of a better way to put it. One of the things that was shared was the evolving shape of the first party portfolio. And so they had this graphic, and basically they were talking about different fiscal years. So they showed fiscal year 2009, where it basically was about 90% of their releases by platform. So 90% of their platform was PS4. Mm-hmm. And then about 10% of that was PC. And so that was 2009. We shift to 2022. And it looks about 40% somewhere in there is PS5. And then they go up to about another 30-40% is going to be PS4 and PS5. Mm-hmm. No PlayStation 4 only releases. And then about 15-20% was PC. And then about 10% mobile. And I know the numbers aren't totally jiving. It's just because it's a visual graphic. It's not actually broken out in percentages within the graphic itself. Right. And then they showed the projections for 2025. And this is where it kind of got interesting. You know, PS5 jumps up to about 50%. But then the other 50% is about, I'll call it two-thirds, one-third. One-third mobile and two-thirds PC. And so just they're very much embracing these additional platforms, right? That's projection. We also got word that they said that the PS5 or PSVR 2 will release with over 20 games, both first and third party, when it comes out. So there should be a decent number of titles coming out at launch. We still don't know when that is and when they have that slated for. And then they talked about expanding their IP, so increasing a new IP investment. So again, you know, kind of looking at comparing 2019, 2022, and then what they expect in 2025. Mm-hmm. In 2019, about 77% of what they did was existing IP, and only about 23% came from new IP. In 2022. They now have shifted. About 34% is new IP and about 66% is still existing IP. And then in fiscal year 2025, they're projecting that to be 50-50. So really trying to focus in on new IP, bringing that in. And that goes into the next slide, which was talking about live services and growing first party monetization and portfolio diversity. And so it was interesting. So they showed a more diverse first party portfolio. Mm-hmm. And they had it broken out by live service games catalog and single player game catalog. And so what was interesting is all of the first party stuff that Sony has done this year, pretty much is single player, not this year, but in the life expectancy, if you will, the PS5 right now has been single player only. So God of War, Horizon, Ratchet and Clank, Spider-Man, Miles Morales, The Last of Us Part 2, Uncharted, Ghost of Tsushima, Returnal, Death Stranding, all single player games. Really with no multiplayer. They might have some co-op components to them, but they're pretty much single player gaming experiences. And then the one live service game is MLB The Show, which we know is on multiple platforms now. So they said the projected number of live service franchises by year. So 2021, they have one. In 2022, they're projecting three live service games. Or franchises, and that basically escalates. So in 2023, it jumps to six, and fiscal year 24, it jumps to 10, and by fiscal year 2025, they anticipate 12 different franchises to be live service franchises. That's a pretty aggressive dip into live service games, and you know what that is, you know, because I guess you can make the comment, you know, MLB The Show. I still look at it as a single player experience. I know there's an entire multiplayer side of it, and it's probably bigger, and you know, that's really the main focus of the game. But for me, it still has a single player component. So I hope that will still be part of whatever they do with these other new IP. Let's see. You know, they talked about exponential growth sustained by PC titles, and that was an interesting area where they're really projecting out that they're going to bring more games into the PC space. And they talk about kind of the revenue from that. I'm gonna kind of skip through some of this because I know this is a little bit heady and probably boring.
I'm at the edge of my seat.
I know. They do expect PS5 supply chain issues to continue. And I think the projection is it's about 2024 now where they think that will ease. They do also talk about unprecedented demand for the PS5 and how everything is rosy and great. Don't worry. And then after that, we learned that Sony is going to be bringing a new State of Play. That will happen on June 2nd. So basically Thursday, June 2nd, they will have a State of Play. Interestingly, it's only 30 minutes. So There was a crazy amount of speculation going on. What are they going to show? What are they going to show off? And how, you know, a lot of
not
people
a lot,
were just
30 minutes.
That's the thing I'm coming away with this. Like I'm maybe temper some expectations here because 30 minutes is not a lot of time. Mm-hmm. I fully expect, they said they'll have some reveals from third party partners. They'll have a sneak peek at several games in development for VR2. So raccoons attacking.
Oh. Probably.
But I'll continue on. So, you know, they are going to be showing off VR2 games. They're going to be revealing some third-party partner games. I have to think we're going to get a God of War gameplay reveal, that they'll show off some God of War. So after that, you just don't really have a lot of time for anything else. So this is kind of important information as we start considering what we're doing for our predictions, because I think initially when I heard State of Play, I thought, okay, maybe they're going to do an hour-long State of Play. It'll be their E3 presentation. Nah, this is really just their same State of Play formula, 30 minutes. Right. They're keeping it short. And so I have adjusted some of my thinking about what might come out of that. and then we got another interesting little tidbit. So a bunch of companies are now coming forward with some live stream events, set in this first and second week of June. So Sega is going to be announcing a new project via live stream on June 3rd. What this is, who knows, because literally the screen was it's written in Japanese. So I have no idea what the heck the announcement will be, but we'll find out. And so, that was the week of kind of the crazy or big news, or maybe not so crazy or big news, but it was just interesting information coming out of Sony. Now, that said, we have a lineup of events now, Kim. Mm-hmm. We know on June 2nd, we're getting the State of Play from Sony. On June 9th is the Summer Game Fest, that Day of the Devs, Jeff Keighley's attempt
at looking forward to
taking over E3.
Mm-hmm.
We also know June 10th, Netflix is doing Netflix Geeked Week, and that will be a showcase of games of some kind. June 10th, also Tribeca Games Showcase. Again, who? Okay.
Right.
Sure.
Right.
And then, of course, the most anticipated one, I think, outside of maybe the Sony PlayStation 1, because I think there's a lot of people that are now very much looking forward to that, is the Xbox Showcase. Right. And that will be on June 12th. As we know, it stands right now, it's roughly 90 minutes long. So that leads us to, let's talk about predictions, Kim.
Oh, goody.
Yes. This is where we basically put our best guesses. They can be grandiose. They can be normal. But we're going to put forward some predictions here. I asked... And we'll ask the guys next week when they come back into the show to give us theirs, as we lead into the E3 week. Granted, the Sony one will have already happened, so they're losing out by not being on the show, Kim.
Sure.
We get the ability to actually make some predictions that they won't be able to make. So,
alrighty.
Three predictions for the Microsoft Xbox showcase, only because that was the one we knew was set in stone when we came up with this predictions concept. And then three additional, and it could be from anything. So it could be from the Summerfest. It could be from Sony's State of Play. It could be from anything. You tell me. So let's start. Give me one. And it can be a just a regular prediction. You can do a bonus add-on to it for an extra point. So you can you can win some extra points here, Kim. I'm just saying. Woo-hoo! Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This is bragging rights. This is for all the bragging rights in the world.
Alrighty. All right. We'll start with some of the Xbox ones because, well, that's what I've got at the top of my list. I think we will see some Avowed during the Xbox deal because we haven't seen really anything since it was announced. Okay. I think some little tidbits here and there. And I think we're due. I don't know why. Maybe it's because it's an RPG and that's my jam and, well, that's what I'm looking forward to. Even though I do think it'll probably be at least another probably couple of years out, more than likely, as most of these probably will be because, you know, it seems like with the pandemic, it's kind of pushed everything back. So now they're back even further than probably what they were originally meant to be. But yeah, I think we'll see something from Avowed. It's been a while. They've been kind of quiet. And okay. I think that would be something big that, you know, hey, guess what? Avowed, you know, everybody, you know, because we haven't heard anything for a while. So.
Okay. Okay.
At least that's, you know, my hope.
Do you want to add any kind of bonus onto this? Do you want to give a are they going to give us a release date or release time frame, anything like that? Or you think
that would be nice, but you know, seeing how well they're doing with release dates here lately, that's probably not such a good idea. But
probably,
you know, it would be nice if they popped up and said, "Oh, it'll be out next year." But then I fully expect if they do say something like that, that it will be again pushed back to a later date because, well, that's kind of the way things are going here lately. So. It won't break my heart too badly because, like I said, I don't see any of these really coming out for at least another couple of years as much as I would like some of them to come out now. You know, I would rather it be late than be buggy and unplayable. So okay. I will not be one of those people you hear complaining on Twitter that, oh, my God, they pushed the game back another 6 months. Yeah.
Kim, this ruined people's lives.
I know. Right?
Just saying, you know. Okay. All right. That's a good solid start. I think that's very plausible, that we see something from Avowed. My first prediction I'm going to go with, for the Microsoft Xbox conference, I'm going to say we will see the reveal for the new Compulsion Labs game. Ooh. So, these are the people that did We Happy Few. We have heard nothing from them ever since that game came out. So we will get to see that. No other prediction with that. No bonus, nothing. Just straight up, the reveal will happen.
Gotcha.
Okay. Back to you, Kim.
All right. On the non-Xbox front, mainly because I wasn't sure where these would exactly go, but I have been hearing a little bit about Evil West, and that was one of the ones that we saw when it was all announced. What's that been? Was it last year? Was it last year? A year before? Anyway, whenever it was.
Okay.
I think we'll see some gameplay from it, and I think they will give us a release date, because technically, I think it's supposed to come out this year, unless, of course, it gets delayed and pushed back, which, let's face it, we all kind of think that anyway, pandemic, yada, yada. So, yeah, I think we will see something out of Evil West this year, and I think we will get a release date that could possibly also be this year.
So. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I like it.
Thank you.
I will switch gears. I'm going to... This is a fun one. I think Sony wants to get into the Design Labs stuff that Microsoft's been doing with their controllers. So my prediction is Sony will announce a new Design Lab app within the State of Play, talking about being able to customize your PS5 console or controller. And bonus to this is it will only be available to start in the U.S., so they will roll it out in the U.S. first, and then they'll roll it out elsewhere after that.
Yeah. I can see that being a thing. Because, I mean, everybody likes their customized controller sort of thing. So
exactly. And you have to think Sony wants some of that money. Sony loves their money. All right, Kim, give me another one.
All righty. A personal one of mine, because I really want to see more on it, is Dragon Age 4. I think we're going to see more Dragon Age 4 stuff than we've been seeing, because lately it's all it's been is like drawings and little things like that. Nothing real big and major. I think we'll actually get something. I don't know, maybe. I don't really want to say like a trailer necessarily, because that would imply that they're probably done with it, which they probably won't be done with it for another couple of years probably, but I would like to see something. Maybe, well, all right, maybe a trailer. I guess I'll put it that way. Not that it has to be gameplay necessarily or anything like that, but I do think we'll get like a story type trailer kind of telling us what it will be about, because all we have right now are just kind of hints and suggestions that, oh, hey, you might go here, or and this one might be here, and this person might be in your group, yada, yada. I kind of want a little more than that, so that's kind of what I'm hoping to see this year. Because we haven't really seen Jack Squat in a while, other than some stuff that's been released on Twitter. Because here a while back, there was a games deal that was supposed to go on. There was supposed to be some big deal there, but it never really kind of happened. So I think we're due for a little Dragon Age 4 news.
Okay.
So, at least right. I hope so.
I like it. I actually almost went Dragon Age 4 with my predictions as well. Sure. But I knew you would be going there, so I said, oh, I right. won't do it.
Right.
All right. I say in the Summer Game Fest, Jeff Keighley's event, that Kojima will make an appearance, that he will be there to discuss his next game with a little teaser trailer kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's a given. I don't know.
Right.
I can't not see Kojima not being in that show.
Right.
He and Jeff are very good friends, so I feel like that will be his get. And the bonus to this will be that I will say a bonus add-on could be that he will actually reveal not Death Stranding 2, but this is the other new game that he's been working on, the rumored deal with Microsoft. That's an xCloud game. So that will be the big whoop to do with his game.
That'll be interesting. I'll go to the chat here. But Booth predicts that for Microsoft, they will show HoloLens stuff again.
If they do, there will be riots.
I got another one for Xbox, and I don't know, that I'd kind of pulled this one out of thin air because I thought, well, you know, it's been a while, so why not?
Okay.
I think we're going to see something for Gears 6. Because it's been, what, about 3 years or so since the last one was out, and that's kind of generally how long they take to do these things. So I think we're going to see, maybe not a trailer or something, but I do think maybe it's going to be hinted at. Maybe they'll throw up a little short little tease and go, okay, you'll hear, you know, somebody in the background, Kate or somebody in the background, and, you know, there'll be some chainsaw action or whatever, and we will get a little bit of a teaser for Gear 6. Because, I mean, they left it at sort of a cliffhanger, so you obviously know there's going to be a 6. So, you know, I think we're due for that, maybe. We'll see.
All right. I like it. Yep. Yeah, very, 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 very plausible. Mm-hmm. Do you want to go out on a limb and give, you know, are they going to give a release date, do you think, for bonus? Do you want to throw out?
I don't think like they'd be
2024.
Probably, I would say, yeah, okay. Something like that. I would definitely say the next couple of years or so. I think, because what was it I was reading somewhere? There was about a year, 3 year span in there for Gears 5. So, you know, we're hitting that about now. So, it's okay. Possible.
Mm-hmm. All right, I like it. Okay, I'm going to say. For the Microsoft conference that we will see certain affinities battle royale mode for Halo be shown off, and it will be framed as a separate game to Halo Infinite, even though it's part of Infinite. So kind of right. Like what Call of Duty does with Warzone, right? So it's it's part of Call of Duty in the new Call of Duty games, but it's really its own thing,
right?
And my bonus for this is it will be released in September this year. So, coming soon. Yeah.
There you go.
Okay.
I'll buy that Kim, for a dollar.
You've got two more. Which way do you want to go?
Well, actually, because I had like four for Xbox. So, here we go. I think we're going to see a whole bunch more Game Pass games. Maybe they'd be indie games or whatever. But I think we're going to get a whole slate more of Xbox Game Pass games that'll be revealed, whether they be indie games, whether, I don't know, maybe we'll get a surprise. This whole Activision Blizzard thing will pass and they'll pop up on the screen and say, hey, guess what's in Game Pass today? and we're going to get a whole bunch of games that way. Who knows? But I do think there's going to be some Game Pass game reveals there. You know,
no, I'm just going to say this right now. That's a pretty softball. I mean, that's easy. You know, they're going to have a Game Pass sizzle reel.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, they'll have something, but you know.
So I want to pin you down a little bit on this.
All right.
Will they have a AAA game in Game Pass day and date launch for holiday?
You know what? I think they will. I mean, with Redfall and Starfield all being pushed back, like we talked before, I think they're going to have something big at this deal to kind of, because the amount of people that were bellyaching and don't get offended, but the amount of people that were, you know, bellyaching that it all got pushed back and, oh my God, it was the end of the frickin' world and yada, yada, yada. Then, yeah, I think they'll have to come out with something. And they do usually have a pretty good, you know, deal of coming out with something big that we didn't expect. And then, boom, guess what? On the screen, and there's like, oh, no way. So I think that, you know, something like that will happen.
Okay. So. All right. And then I'll have you start looking at the chat. I know I see a whole bunch of stuff going on there. So I figured we got some other predictions happening. And then I'll just do real quickly one of mine. So I'll go back into the Summer Game Fest side of it. I think Insomniac is going to tease a new game in the not the Summer Fest, but this will be part of the Sony State of Play. We'll get a tease on a new game. And this, of course, is when I was thinking this was going to be longer than 30 minutes. So this, I don't know how likely this is anymore. But Insomniac's been like one of their best producers for games. Like they've been pumping them out. So I feel like they have the team set up to be just a really well-oiled machine. So we know they have Spider-Man 2, you know, that they're working on. We know that they have Wolverine that they're working on. However, I think about it and I'm like, Sony really has this whole games as service, live service thing. And so my bonus here is not only do we get this Insomniac tease on a new game, but it's going to be a Resistance game, and it'll be a games as service style, similar to what they did with we saw Sega do with Outriders. Mm-hmm. So that will be kind of one of the other new titles that they're working on, but it will not have a release date, of course, because it's going to be pretty far out. Okay, why don't we get some of the other predictions that are coming out of the chat?
All right, we've got Boof. He says, I would like to see campaign DLC for Halo, maybe in another part of the Halo, like a marsh or a desert with another Spartan like Kelly. And he's got a Summer Games prediction. They will show everywhere the game teased by the original creators of GTA after they all quit Rockstar Games.
I like it.
Okay. All right. Last but not least.
Yes.
I think there's going to be some Fable. I mean, we got that one little tease with the fairy that one time, and the frog ate the fairy, and we were all like super fucking excited. And then I got excited last year because I thought they were going to do some more, and it turned out to be Forza, and I'm not going to lie, I was terribly fucking disappointed. So I think this year we will actually get something. Except I don't know what it is because they all say, well, Fable's not coming for years and years yet, but I you know, they have to be doing something other than Forza Horizon 5. So, I mean, come on.
So Fable shown off for a bonus. Is it going to be just a story trailer or do you think it'll actually have gameplay?
I mean, if it actually has gameplay, I swear to God, I will have kittens. But I have a feeling it'll be more like story, which, all right. But it's something. And they haven't really put out a whole lot of anything on Fable other than that one little tease I think we've got. At least not that I can remember. It's been that long ago.
Yeah.
So... yeah, I think it'll be a story thing, but if there is gameplay in there, like I said, I will have kittens. So, or at least you'll hear me go, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, you know. So, yeah, okay. Fable. I think we're due for something. So.
Okay, all right. I like it.
Predictions. Yep.
Okay. Well, my last prediction, I'm swinging for the fences on this one.
Oh boy.
So, you know, obviously we know Starfield got pushed out. We know that Redfall got pushed out and it was kind of like, okay, they're two, you know, quote unquote, first party heavy hitters pushed out. We assume Forza 8's coming, but, you know, nothing's been confirmed.
Right.
Here's my crazy prediction.
All righty.
Hellblade 2 is actually being released in 2022. It's further along than everybody thinks. And they felt confident they could get Hellblade 2 out this holiday. And that allowed them to push those other games out.
Yeah, I can see it.
The bonus, it will take Starfield's previously released date of 11/11/22. There you go. Yeah.
That's a good one. I like that one.
Yeah. And if it's not going to be Hellblade 2, then I think Sony's going to be an asshole and they're going to put God of War releasing 11/11/22.
Well, yeah, I'm wondering about that one because that's what everybody's saying now is that God of War will be out this year.
So, yeah.
I think at this point. So, because what was it? They rated it in Korea or something or the other day. So now everybody's screaming, oh, yeah, it'll be out. Yeah. It'll be out.
Yeah, I feel confident it will be out. I think, though, they likely bring that out. I mean, again, this is not predictions anymore. This is just speculating. Right. But I think Sony doesn't put as much value to trying to release in November, December. I think they much rather have their first party in kind of that October, September timeframe. Mm-hmm. And just give them a longer run, if you will, in that holiday season. So I'd be shocked if God of War didn't come out in late September or October.
Right.
Okay. Great predictions, Kim. I love it.
Thank you.
I think we are going to swipe the floor with the other guys because, you know, they're all we know where Robin's predictions are going to go. Yeah. Right.
But in Colonial Marines.
Exactly. I bet he should predict that.
You really should.
Inbound. All right. That brings us to the release calendar, Kim. We do know there are some games actually still coming out.
Just a few. I didn't really recognize too many of them, but we do have a few games coming out. Your new releases for May 29th to June 4th are Silt, which I guess is a game about dirt. I don't know.
I'm really glad it wasn't spelled differently.
I know. And if Robin had been here, it would have been. And I really had to look at it to make sure that I didn't slip up and say something else. But anyway, Silt for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC on the 1st of June. So enjoy your dirt game. I don't know. It may not be dirt, but it's named Silt. I mean, come on.
It feels like it's a dirt game.
It should be. We have Card Shark. And holy crap, I just went wonky there. Let me get back up there. Hold on. Jesus Christ. They got too much crap on this screen. I swear to God. All right. Card Shark for the Switch and PC, which I wonder, is that like the old, the old game?
The Card Shark game, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I wonder if that's what this one is. I don't know. But it's out June 2nd, so I guess it's on Switch and PC, so maybe I'll find out. One I'm kind of looking forward to, but I'm not real sure about, is Diablo Immortal for iOS and Android. That may be something that I download on either my phone or my tablet, and that might knock Puzzle Quest 3 out for a while. I don't know, we'll see. But that's out June 2nd as well, so it's right around the corner.
I've been hearing good things about it too. People are saying it's much better than you think.
All right. Well, they've got Rob Ferguson, Rod Ferguson, who used to be with Gears and the Coalition and all of that, who's actually running this thing now. So that gives me hope. So let's see. We have a Gigapocalypse. That's the one. For PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Switch. What he said. On June 2nd.
Yeah, last gen game. That's interesting. Right. Well, Switch, I mean. But yeah.
That's enough. And Soldiers, which is spelled interestingly. It's not like you'd think of Soldiers. It's Souldiers. So Soldiers. I'm going to assume it's got some sort of paranormal or some sort of bent to it. But whatever. PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC on June 2nd as well. And last but certainly not least, we have Unexplored 2, The Wayfarer's Legacy. Okay, not to be, confused with Uncharted or anything like that. For the Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PC on June 2nd. Wait, no. PlayStation 5? Interesting. Although that could just mean they've got it coming out for that at a later date. I've seen it before. But anyway, those are your new releases for this week. A couple of good ones or interesting ones in there. So.
Yeah. I mean, clearly, Diablo is, I think, the game that has the most notoriety and hype Right. But I mean, I'm very curious about Silt. I want to, is it a dirt simulator? If it's a dirt simulator, I mean, you know, I could see this being.
Anthony will probably want it because he likes all them simulator games. So he wanted to mention lawn mowing simulator the other day, and I'm just like, get on the lawnmower with your grandpa. It's the same damn
real life simulator. There you go.
Right.
All right. Kim, on Wednesday night, we religiously now play Halo. Halo Infinite Multiplayer. Kim, we've got to get you in there one of these days. I'm just saying.
I know, and I plan to. Like I said, it sounds like maybe my working with the children thing is lessening, so hopefully.
If you would just put them in the closet, Kim, everything would be fine.
Right?
Yeah.
One of these days.
But, Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. In the UK-ish. And usually we go for about an hour or longer, depending upon how my lunch hour is going, and or how much the, you know, how long the guys in the UK can stay awake for, because they're getting older now. They start wanting their warm milk and, you know, the little blankie, and they want to tuck in pretty early. So,
right.
And then Friday we are trying to establish some PUBG night as well. So Fridays we are doing same time, 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. out of the West Coast. Pick your time zone in between. If you are free and around, come join up. Marcanix and I are playing some PUBG. And so as long as we have room on the squad, you can join up and we'll go have a laugh. And, well, Kim, I think it's kind of a show. It feels like we're at the end. I know. We filled up some time.
We did.
Kim, look, real quick. Where can people find us in terms of the show? Obviously, if they're watching now, they don't need to know that, but maybe they listen to us on the audio side.
Alrighty. Well, on the audio side, we're on Spotify. We're on Podbean. We're everywhere. Let's see. If you want to tweet us, we're at OC Podcast, at OC _ podcast. On Facebook, it's fb.ocpod.com. You can leave us a review. God knows we love reviews. We don't get many of them. So, you know,
we could use them. We also probably should check.
Well, right. Yeah, we're kind of bad about that, too.
Yeah, pretty much.
But yeah, you know, if you want to get a hold of us, there are definitely ways. So as long as it's not hate mail. Then again, I guess if it is hate mail, it might make for a good show. I mean, you know, we all have that one what mean tweets thing that goes around. Maybe we could do that. Although, let's be fair, I'd probably start bawling. So maybe that's not a good idea. Okay.
Apparently, all right.
Again.
Raccoons?
I hope not. They sound like big raccoons.
I know. Definitely a big raccoon.
Yes, I am podcasting. Playing video games. Nope. Oh, podcasting. This is my brother, Stacy. So.
Howdy.
Hey, Stacy.
See, told you, he is a dude, and his name is Stacy. Yeah. So there you go.
Once in a while, yeah. Not anymore. I'm old now, so they don't give me.
Old and ugly, we know.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, I'll be out in a minute.
All right. Yeah, I got a buck monkey bunny around Cahoga.
Okay.
Good mittens.
Family time on the podcast. Yay!
Love it.
Yep.
Look into your life, Kim. A look into your life.
Right. Yep. Yep.
Real time.
See.
All right. Well, let's wind up with some shout outs. Why don't we shout out the chat in particular? It's been active.
Speaking of the chat, Martin wants to know if we're on TikTok. Well, I'm not on TikTok because, well, I don't particularly care for TikTok, but I'm sure somebody is.
Robin is on TikTok.
There you go.
Robin Tate is on TikTok, and you will be amused.
I was going to say, let's face it, he's funnier than I am, so there you go. Let's see. Shatters, we've had Martin, who I just mentioned. We've had Boof and Boomer. So thank you all for stopping by. Even with just the three of you, it was rather chatty today, which is nice. So thank you guys for stopping in and making us laugh and giving us a few predictions along the way. Appreciate it. So, and thanks for watching my back for the raccoons, because at least now they're using the door, so not the ceiling, which is nice. Shout out to Tank Top. We did a good show, believe it or not. I think people will be surprised. We had a good show. So
I'm not surprised at all. I had full faith that we would deliver a great show. And might I add, again, error-free, family-friendly.
Right.
And, maybe not friendly, but family. And, it was good.
All right.
So. I enjoyed my time with you, Kim. Thank you very much for making the show. Otherwise, everybody would have been treated to me literally talking to nobody else and rambling through all of those Sony slides in detail. I would have bored the hell out of everybody. So I'm glad you were here to curb mid-show. That. Yeah. I saw you starting to nod off, and that was my cue. So it was good. Hey, everybody, thank you for tuning in. We really do appreciate live listeners as well as the people that catch us on, you know, the rewind. So we will have a
dead ones. But anyway,
yeah, we count the dead ones too, Kim. All right. It helps our numbers. Come back next weekend. We'll be on Sunday somewhere around 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. on the West Coast, 4 p.m. in the East Coast. We'll be live doing our thing. And really, that will be, we'll be into the swing of it. We will have had the Sony press event, their state of play. So we will have a little bit of E3 goodness happening already. Let's just, I mean, keep the narrative going. Bring back E3. I'm just saying. All right.
OC podcast. Thanks, Martin.
All right. On that note, everybody have a fantastic weekend, what's left of it. And if you were in the U.S., enjoy Memorial Day. Go out and do something fun. See the sun. It's a thing. It's out there.
Finally. All the rain we've had.
All right. And on that note, thanks, everybody. We'll see you later.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. See you same time next week.